Shall we pray? Lord, we bring our gifts to you today. We ask that you will accept them. We ask that you will accept them in the spirit to which they are given through Christ our Lord. Amen. At this point in our meeting, I'd like to refocus on the purpose of our meeting together by wandering in our imagination to other times, centuries past, when life was a little less complex. A time when people were more attached to the earth, the community, and to the fragile nature of life. And let us wander back to the late 12th century, the year 1181 or 1182, to a town of Umbria in central Italy. So you're allowed to actually wander off in your thoughts at the moment for a little bit. And there in Umbria was born one Giovanni Francesco Bernardoni. And Giovanni was the son of a wealthy cloth merchant. Leading a popular, carefree life, he was destined for a career as a knight until he got converted. He found Jesus Christ as his saviour. He then turned his back on worldly goods and in a ragged cloak with a rope belt that was taken from a scarecrow, he left home and wandered the countryside with a few followers, begging from the rich, giving to the poor, no, not Robin Hood, and preaching. And his charm, humility, and kindly manner attracted many followers. This wonderful man led his followers in chastity, poverty, and obedience, and laid special stress on preaching and caring for the poor and for the sick. His followers became an official order in 1209 or 1210 and became known as the Friars Minor or Lesser Brothers and the Poor Clares for women. There were many similarities to the Salvation Army as it began in the 19th century. And Giovanni enjoyed the solitary life, seeing the objects of nature as pointing to the love of their creator. It was said that even birds and animals enjoyed his sermons, but I think that's probably a bit of a long bow to draw. You know, these things do grow up later on. I'm sure you've guessed already that Giovanni was the friar known as Francis. Francis of Assisi. To some, Saint Francis, a man who achieved a great deal in his short life, leaving the world a lasting legacy of service and devotion. Well, now that I've set the scene, I want you to imagine that we are congregated in a barn made of stone and wood, where Francis and his followers have gathered many people in order to preach and tell the love of God and the salvation found in Jesus. So it's winter time, it's a bit cold. Okay, fire burning in the middle. You know, Francis' conversion was no accident. He simply responded in a wonderful way to God's call when he became ill, devoting his life to Christ and to a life of godliness. God had already planned the good works for Francis to do. And the reason I chose Francis as an example is that I have in my mind a scene from a painting from many years ago with Francis standing in a garden and the birds and animals coming to him. And it was a scene of godly peace and harmony with God's creation. I don't know if the legends of his life have been exaggerated over the centuries or not, but there's every reason to believe that he was an industrious and kind man given to godly devotion. For any of us here, the touch of the Saviour upon our lives has not come as an accident either. For God likewise speaks in our hearts and calls for a response to the love which he has showered upon humanity through the sacrificial gift of Jesus, his Son. It is then through Jesus and the Holy Spirit that we find peace, a peace of mind and heart which comes when our sins are confessed and forgiven, and the presence and purpose of the Holy Spirit gives new meaning to life. And for me, it was no accident that on the 28th of April 1968, getting close to 50 years ago, that I was offered a spare ticket from my parents' church to attend Billy Graham's crusade in Sydney. I had been there the day before and I felt convicted. And when the call to respond came, I could not go forward because there was so much of a crowd sitting out there on the grass. And the second time, with my friend Cole Ringrose, we sat in the stadium, and when the invitation was made, we both went forward. It was no accident. And just as God called Francis, God called me, and he called you. His will and purpose is found in gathering people into the sphere of his love and forgiveness. For many of us, the life we have is busy, complex, demanding, creating tension and stressed feelings. Yet in the midst of all that, our Saviour can give peace. That's why I said Les had been reading my notes. I wasn't alive in the days of Francis, of course, but I have a picture in my mind of a world far less complicated than the one in which we live. People didn't zoom from one place to another on crowded roads, keeping an eye on their watch to ensure they don't miss appointments, or clack away on computers, pay off large mortgages, commute long distances to and from work, race around to get their children to activities, etc. I imagine that life was far more simple, though far more precarious. Even in my lifetime, our Western life has become more and more complex. And I discovered that recently when I wanted to change my email address. I didn't realise how many companies and organisations I use my email address as the username, and they send things to me all the time. And the fact that I not only had to contact them once to change it, but two and three times. It was quite a mistake when I used my work email address years ago as my username for everything. I thought, why have two email boxes? Just use the one for everything. And like many of you, when I was young, I could go off on a bicycle for hours and just ride, filling in my time. Safe. Today, parents, of course, are reluctant to allow children out of their sight for fear of their mortal safety. It is a changed world. Not so simple. Our Bible reading spoke very simply of how Jesus did deeds of kindness to people. Simon's mother-in-law, people who were sick or possessed with demons. He preached to people who needed to hear about God. He also made the leper clean and advised the man how to be reintegrated with his community. He healed the paralyzed man and called sinners and tax collectors to be his followers. Life may not be as simple anymore, but God is just as real and relevant within this changing world as he was in the 13th century, or the 12th, or the 11th, or at any time in eternity. Eternity still matters, even if we might seldom ponder it. Jesus came to give us fullness, a life in abundance in the 21st century. He planned good works of love and faith just as much for us as he did for Francis. I encourage us all to lift our heart to God, often amidst the busyness of life, because in doing so we will experience God's peace and God's purpose.